On a sizzling summer day in 1791, 23-year-old Maria Reynolds called on the handsome 36-year-old Alexander Hamilton, then serving as the first U.S. Treasury Secretary, at his red brick house in Philadelphia, ostensibly to ask for help. They had never met, but it was common for men of wealth and importance to accept visits from strangers seeking assistance. Hamilton must have been delighted that this particular stranger was so attractive. Though we have no description of Maria's appearance, men seemed to go weak in the knees in her presence. Given the written records about her and her own impassioned letters, we can paint a picture of this drama queen sex siren. She has huge breasts that she flaunts in her low-cut gowns, and a tiny waist. Her thick hair, which she leaves unpowdered, is the cascading wild tumble so fashionable at the time. Her big eyes are framed by long dark lashes that she bats, but only at men. She is always ready to smile. Let us give her dimples. Her voice is low and throaty, redolent of jazz and cigarettes, even though they haven't been invented yet. She positively radiates sex. She told Hamilton that her husband, James Reynolds, had abandoned her for another woman, and she needed funds to return to her family in New York. She had turned to Hamilton as he was from New York and might be sympathetic to a fellow citizen in trouble. Perhaps Maria was also aware that the chivalrous Hamilton often assisted damsels in distress and had heard of his reputation as a ladies' man. As Hamilton listened to her pathetic tale of abuse by James Reynolds, probably accompanied by a torrent of tears, he must have sized her up. The delectable young woman was offering herself to him in return for travel expenses. The temptation was irresistible. But Hamilton's wife, Eliza, and their four young children were just yards away from him. He told Maria that he wanted to help her, but she had come at an inopportune time, as he later wrote. He got her address, a local boarding house, and promised to bring her $30, a substantial sum, about $800 in today's money. Clearly, he was intending to pay for more than stagecoach fare to New York. "In the evening, I put a bank bill in my pocket and went to the house," he later confessed. "I inquired for Mrs. Reynolds and was shown upstairs, at the head of which she met me and conducted me into a bedroom. I took the bill out of my pocket and gave it to her. Some conversation ensued from which it was quickly apparent that other than pecuniary consolation would be acceptable." And so began the lurid affair that would trumpet Hamilton's sins in the tabloid press, tarnish his reputation, and humiliate his wife. Because Maria Reynolds didn't get dressed and take the next stagecoach home. She stayed in Philadelphia, enjoying an impassioned relationship with the Treasury Secretary. When, soon after the affair began, Eliza Hamilton took the children on a long visit to her father in Albany, Hamilton entertained Maria in the marital home and had sex with her on the marital bed. And when James Reynolds returned and reconciled with his wife, Hamilton continued seeing her. Soon, Alexander Hamilton, the second most important man in the country and the brightest mind in that time of exceptionally bright minds, found himself the dim-witted victim of a tawdry extortion scheme that had targeted him in advance. It was a strange, dark, and stupid detour in Hamilton's extraordinary life that, until this point, had arced ever upward. His was a rags-to-riches story, the stuff of an adventure novel. He had been born out of wedlock, a stain, in his time and place, that branded him as less than, as if God himself had marked the boy as a moral misfit. His illegitimacy made him combative, ambitious, insecure, and swaggering, eager to prove he was the smartest guy in the room, and usually succeeding.